And now it is part two of the book club. We've already heard from the wonderful Sylvia Kent. And now I'm joined by our guest writer. It's Maria Conyers to talk about her book, Sugar Upon My Lemons. So very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. It's a beautiful sunny day.
It is. It absolutely is. It's lovely to talk to you. Maria, when did you first, before we talk about the book, when did you first become interested in writing? Is that something that developed when you were a child, or did it happen later in life?
Yes. Actually, as a child, I got an Olivetti typewriter, and even as a fairly young 8 or 9 year old, I was trying to write short stories. But particularly because I learned to read slightly later in life, Penny dropped when I was about 8, I became an insatiable reader. I'd pinch the librarian's keys and sneak into the library at school and read anything I could get my hands on. And at that time it was Enid Blyton, and I think I must have read every Enid Blyton book she's ever written at that point.
I was going to say, who was your favourite? I mean, it's obviously, when you were a child, was it Enid Blyton?
When I was a child.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got so many authors, I'd be stuck. But I love Jane Austen. Her wit is so vibrant and timeless. I'd have to settle on Jane Austen, I think.
And when you actually read a book, because certain people have different things, some people actually see images and other people don't. I always see images and see a film when I'm reading a book. Do you get that as well? Is that what happens with you?
I think a good writer hopefully will make a book become visualised in the reader's mind, so they can imagine it happening, rather like watching a film script. A film roll on. And I think that's very important, because it means the readers engage with what's being written.
And I asked you this off air to give you a little bit of a chance, but what book do you think changed your life, that the book that you read and you went, wow, I wasn't expecting that?
Changed my life? That's a very hard one. I would think I loved thriller novels. I loved Reginald Hill's books, because they're very clever, particularly his standalone novels, such as The Collaborator, and other books. Death of a Doormat, it was a very clever book. But, yes, I've always liked books with an element of mystery and thrillers involved in them, and so it keeps one guessing. And as I say, Jane Austen would be up there, really, as a book that inspired me and I felt was wonderfully witty and funny and tongue-in-cheek.
So with actually writing, is this the Sugar Upon My Lemons, is this your debut book? Have you had books out before this one?
It's my debut novel. It's not my debut book. I've written a couple of clinical books, because I'm a psychoanalyst.
Yeah.
But they were more for doctors and other paramedical staff. So it's not the first time I've written or been published, but it is my first novel.
Yeah. So let's talk about the novel Sugar Upon My Lemons, which is out now, and you can get it at all over the place, and including Waterstones as well. Tell us about how the book came about.
Well, it was written during the pandemic, as so many books were. And originally I wrote it as a keepsake for my 5 children. My second husband was sadly diagnosed with terminal cancer. And after he died, really as a way of coping with my grief, I think, I decided to write a book as a keepsake for the children. And then it occurred to me that this book would be useful for the 300,000 estimated bereaved people in this country. And as loss and trauma was my clinical speciality, I thought, well, I will write my love story about my relationship to Graham, who I call Parker in the novel. And it grew from there, really. And he was a very funny, witty man. And we had a glorious 10 years that I wouldn't regret for one minute. So the story goes back in time from when the BBC are announcing that they'd reached the unthinkable total of 40,000 dead because of the coronavirus. And I'm struck by the sadness of this. And so the book goes back in time and begins to tell the story of how I met Parker and about our early life, which was very funny and amusing, and the things that happened to us and adversity we had to overcome unexpectedly before he had cancer. And then a very small part of the book is trying to reach out to all those that have been bereaved, saying, yes, grief is a terrible thing, but it is part of life.
Mm.
And the most important thing is not to try and defend against it or deny it, but to really let oneself go with the pain of it. And there is a way through. You can survive grief. You can come through. So ultimately, I'm hoping it's a book of hope for the future.
And you said you've got five children, so congratulations. What did they think?
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Sorry, you've got five children, and you said you wrote the book for them. Have they read the book, and what were their thoughts?
Some of them have read it. Some of them found it too painful, or read parts of it and found... Because I didn't mince my word. I didn't evade the point of when he was dying. I wanted people to know that anything can be spoken of with respect and sincerity. So I think many of them found those kind of parts difficult, and I respect that. When they're ready, they will read the book.
Mm. Now, you've also got other things in the pipeline with this book, because it could be looking to possibly being a screenplay as well, which would be an amazing thing to happen.
Sorry?
You said about it could be a screenplay as well. The book might
I met a BBC producer, and we're working on possibly turning the book into a script to be offered to the BBC commissioners. That's going to take quite some time. It's quite a bit of work. And the book has also been offered to Hollywood by my publishers, though in truth, I'm not holding my breath about that.
Yeah.
I think it'd be better for the BBC. I think it's more suited for that.
So the book is out now, Maria, and it's available everywhere, so you can actually...
It's out now, it's selling well, it's got 5-star reviews on Amazon, and Blackley's had it, W.H. Smith's, or if not, you can order it, certainly.
And did you go into Waterstones and have you actually physically seen the book on sale?
Sadly, no, I don't believe it is in the local Waterstones, which is a great pity, because they have a policy that if they can't return the books, they don't put them out on the shelves.
Oh.
But they can certainly order the book for anyone.
Yes. And the artwork on the front of the book, where did that come from?
Partly from my ideas, partly from the graphic designers working for the publishing house with the police helmet and the rose, which was part of our wedding ceremony. Graham was a retired inspector from the Met, so there's some funny stories from his youth working in the police. Mm-hmm. When the Met was obviously a very different organisation to what it is today.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It's been fantastic to talk to you. This book sounds absolutely brilliant. As you said, it's your story, but it will obviously transfer to so many other people through the pandemic. And as you said, it's good to put these stories out there about loss, because a lot of the time, I think, especially in the UK, we do kind of hide a little bit.
I've had very good response from people that have read it. People have made contact with me.
Yeah.
Some people have said it's changed their life. They found it thought-provoking.
Yeah.
And couldn't put it down. The biggest criticism I've had is, why didn't they make the book longer? They wanted the book to carry on, so I guess that's nice to hear.
Is that something you might do? Are you going to maybe add another book to this? Or
Not at the moment, because I'm currently working on a book set in India, which is about my family's history of being in India for 4 generations. And there during the last days of British rule.
Yep.
And again, it's a thriller, and it's half fiction, half fact. It's always good to write about what you know about. So I might get round to writing a second book after I finish the book on India.
Excellent. And just what would you say to somebody out there if they're thinking about writing a book and not sure where to start? What advice would you give somebody?
I think I'd tell them to sit down, trust their instincts, and start writing. And it's a great way to let the imagination flow freely and not be too tense about it or too anxious, just to see what comes.
Fantastic. That is Maria Conyers. The book is Sugar Upon My Lemons. It is out now everywhere. And if you want to get yourself a copy, you can do it all bookshops and online as well. So thank you so much for talking to us, Maria. And I wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. What a great chat that was. And a great book as well. If you've gone through loss yourself, as Maria said, it's been very, very helpful for people. And it's funny, heartwarming, and the tragic loss as well, but it is a life story and a good book if that's happened in your life. And even if it hasn't happened in your life, it's a life story and a love story, as Maria said. So there we go. That's Sugar Upon My Lemons, Maria Conyers, and that is out now.